All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru.
Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Lakshmi Narasimha Prabhuji. And Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 12th chapter, 35 verse onwards. Before that, I want to give a little bit introduction of Prabhuji. His Grace Lakshmi Narasimha Prabhuji is a disciple of His Grace Jaipatak Swami Maharaj and practicing His Krishna consciousness from last 20 years and helping the movement in different capacities at different times, like representing in Inner Faith Dialogues, Sastric Research, Temple Administration, Youth and Congregational Preaching. Currently primarily focused on exposing the cause of cow protection for ISKCON France. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Madhuji. Thanks for those kind words. Please accept my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudire. Nashta Prayesha Bhadresha Rityam Bhagavadaseya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text Number 35. Is it 35 or 34, Mataji?
35,
Prabhuji.
Yeah, what I was told was 34, and now I'm knowing 35, so it doesn't matter. So we will read from 35. Trailokim Devayanena Soti Vrajya Munin Api Parastatya Truvagatir Vishnur Padam Atha Vayagat. Trilokim Devayanena So Ati Rajya Munin Api Parastatya Truvagatir Vishnur Padam Atha Vayagat. Trilokim Devayanena So Ati Vrajya Munin Api Parastatya Truvagatir Vishnur Padam Atha Vayagat. Translation by Srila Krishna Prabhupada. Truva Maharaj thus surpassed the seven planetary systems of great sages who are known as Saptarishi. Beyond that region, he achieved the transcendental situation of permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. But for Srila Prabhupada, the airplane was piloted by two chief associates of Lord Vishnu, namely Sunanda and Nanda. Only such spiritual astronauts can pilot their airplane beyond the seven planets and arrive in the region of eternal blissful life. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita also, Parastasmatu Bhavo Nyaha, that beyond this planetary system begins a spiritual sky where everything is permanent and blissful. The planets there are known as Vishnu Loka or Vaikuntha Loka. Only there can one get an eternal blissful life of knowledge. Below Vaikuntha Loka is the material universe, where Lord Brahma and others in Brahma Loka can live until the annihilation of this universe. But that life is not permanent. That is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka. Even if one goes to the topmost planet, one cannot achieve eternal life. Only by arriving in the Vaikuntha Loka can one live an eternal blissful life. Hare Krishna, am I audible to everyone?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Prabhuji, after you read verse 35, can you also read verse 34? Because 34 was not covered previously. So if you can do them together, that will be helpful, Prabhu.
Thank you, Vataji. We need the verse 34. Tatra tatra prasamsaddihi pati vaimanikai suraihi avikiryam mano tadrishe kushumai kramasho grahan. Tatra tatra prasamsaddihi pati vaimanikai surai avakiryamano dadrushe kushumai kramasho grahan. Translation. While Dhruva Maharaj was passing through space, he gradually saw all the planets of the solar system. On the path, he saw all the demigods in their airplanes, showering flowers upon him like rain. Purport. There is a Vedic version, Yasmit Vijnate Sarvam Evam Vijnatam Bhavati, which means that by knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything becomes known to the devotee. Similarly, by going to the planet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can know all the other planetary systems on the path of Vaikuntha. We should remember that Dhruva Maharaj's body was different from our bodies. While boarding the Vaikuntha airplane, his body changed to completely spiritual golden hue. No one can surpass the higher planets in a material body. But when one gets a spiritual body, he can travel not only to the higher planetary system of this material world, but even to a still higher planetary system known as Vaikuntha Loka. It is well known that the Narada Muni travels everywhere, both in the spiritual and the material worlds. It should be noted also that while Suniti was going to Vaikuntha Loka, she also changed her body into spiritual form. Like Sri Suniti, every mother should train her child to become a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj. Suniti instructed her son, even at the age of 5, to be unattached to the worldly affairs and to go to the forest to search out the Supreme Lord. She never desired that her son remain at home comfortably without ever undertaking austerities and penances to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every mother like Suniti must take care of her son and train him to become a brahmachari from the age of 5 years and to undergo austerities and penances for spiritual realization. The benefit will be that if her son becomes a strong devotee like Dhruva, certainly not only will he be transferred back home, back to Godhead, but she will also be transferred with him to the spiritual world. Even though she may be unable to undergo austerities and penances in executing devotional service. Hari Om Tat Sat. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksharun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Jadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tapadakamanam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrijatam Sahagana Raghunathamidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Tavcha Mukam Kuroti Vachanam Bangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripatam Ahamunde Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hari Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna, I'm thankful to all the devotees in the Bhakti Sangha for giving me an opportunity to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse from the fourth canto, chapter 12, 34 and 35. So this is a very important and lesson for all the devotees from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam, as opposed to Srimad Bhagavad Gita, is the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita played out by the lives of great devotees of the Lord. So they are illustrating through their life and through their activities how one lives by Bhagavad Gita. That's why Srila Prabhupada calls this a postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita. So here is the life history of Dhruva Maharaj. And we are at a juncture where Dhruva Maharaj is going back home, back to Godhead. He has already boarded the airplane of Sunanda and Nanda, the two great Vaikuntha inhabitants. And they are taking him to the spiritual world. And we see that just before this, he boards the Vaikuntha airplane. Death personified comes there. And Dhruva Maharaj is not afraid of the death personified. He just steps over the death personified and ascends to the airplane. So this is a very important understanding that great acharyas, they illustrate this point. So, in fact, Srila Prabhupada also gives a beautiful illustration of how a cat behaves differently towards its own offspring, kitten, and how it behaves towards a mice. A mouse feels death in the mouth of the cat, whereas the kitten, it feels a motherly affection and motherly care in the mouth of the cat. So in the same way, the death, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am death, kalos me, lokasya krut pravrto. So I am the death personified, and I come and take away everything. And I am the time personified. And he also declares that death is a certain thing. So jatasahi dhruvo mrityu. Anyone who was born has to die one day. So death is a very, it's an as sure as death, as Srila Prabhupada also mentions in different points. So death is a force of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the representation of Lord Krishna. So for devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, so death is an opportunity to transcend from the material realm to the spiritual realm. For others, death is the most feared thing. So it is like Prabhupada also mentions, the Puranas also mentioned, it is like thousands and thousands of scorpions biting at the same moment. It is very painful. Not just it is a physical pain, but it's a mental and a traumatic pain for the whole soul. The soul is so attached to the body, and soul doesn't want to give up the body. And when the Yamadutas, they forcibly take away the soul from the body, it is an extremely painful experience. So that's what happens to the mouse. It feels death in the mouth of the cat. So here, devotees of the Lord, so it is said that Srila Prabhupada mentions that death is an ultimate exam for a devotee, because there's an opportunity for him to be able to remember Krishna. And what plays out the time of death is completely not in our control. So the time of death, so as the it is said, Kapavada Pitta, is going to completely choke our thought process, completely choke our mind, and we won't be able to do anything, which is nothing will be in our control. So we will completely be under the control of the modes of material nature that has taken over us. So it is going to be the effort that we put during the lifetime that is going to play out at the time of death. So whether we'll be able to remember Krishna at the time of death is all depends on the consciousness that we carefully nurture during our lifetime and purify our consciousness so that we can think about Krishna at the time of death. It also, and very interestingly, in the pastime of Ramanujacharya also, so he asks one of his spiritual masters that what happens to a devotee at the time of death when he's not able to think of Krishna. This is he's asking about a pure devotee. So for in that case, it is said that the spiritual master, and he asked the Supreme Lord, Varadaraja. Then he said he'll let him know the next day after asking the Supreme Lord. So the next day when Ramanuja turns up to ask the same question, so his spiritual master tells him that Lord Varadaraja said that he will remember that devotee who has dedicated his whole life for the Supreme Lord. So devotee in any case doesn't have to worry. So all he has to do is he has to completely surrender his life and soul in serving the Supreme Lord. Then the outcome doesn't really matter. Krishna takes care of the situation. The Guru and the spiritual master takes care of the situation. So he always surrenders himself to the spiritual master. He doesn't desire anything, especially in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. We don't really, it is taught to us that we shouldn't be desiring anything specific. So earlier we definitely, Bhagavad Gita mentions and gives us the impetus, motivation that we should desire to go back to Godhead. And that should be the driving point for us to take up a devotional service. But at an advanced stage of a devotional service, when the devotee is completely one with the Supreme Lord in purpose, he doesn't even desire anything apart from the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord desires him to come back to him, he's ready to go back to him. If the Supreme Lord desires him to go back to hellish planets and do his bidding, he's ready to do that too. So he completely gives up his desire, becomes subservient to the desire of the Supreme Lord. Shikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruttama. So that is the Uttama Bhakti, or the highest Bhakti is being subservient to the will of the Supreme Lord. That's the pure devotional service. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he mentions that the Bhakti or being subservient to the Lord is higher than Mukti. It is the Panchama Purusharta, or the highest desirable thing for a living entity. So the Vedas and Upanishads, they talk about four Purusharthas. It stops at Mukti. And even to come to the point of Mukti, to desire Mukti, is really a very admirable and very great thing. Because not everybody comes even to that point. Everybody is happy to be in the platform of Kama, to fulfill their desires, or Artha, fulfilling economic prosperity. They don't even come to Dharma. So I want to talk about Mukti. Mukti remains a flickering desire. The moment sometimes when there's so much in pain, so much in frustration, that time they'll think about God and say, please God, please kindly protect me or take me to you. So all these pliyas are short-lived, but as soon as the favorable winds are blowing, they forget their painful existence and they're happy to be on the platform of self-gratification. So bhakti, as per Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, is higher than mukti. So we see from the great life history of great devotees. So their purpose is to fulfill the desire of the Lord. They are even ready to go to hellish planets. And sadly demonstrated by great devotees like Ramanujacharya. So he was ready to go to hellish planets, provided he can fulfill the Lord's desire to deliver the fallen souls. And same with our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas also. Time and again they have shown that their own life is of lesser importance. Their own emancipation, going back to Godhead, is not very important. But rather, they want to make sure that everybody is given a chance to practice bhakti. Everybody from Prahlad Maharaj to Vasudeva Datta, everybody has amply demonstrated this quality. So, coming back to the Dhruva Maharaj life history, it's a very interesting and interesting life history of a great devotee who has been amply utilized by the Supreme Lord to teach all of us how much faith one should have in the Supreme Lord and the words of the spiritual master. So Dhruva Maharaj, and whenever Dhruva Maharaj's name is taken, usually Prahlad Maharaj's name is also taken along. And there is so much similarities and parallel in both of their life history. I'm just going to draw a little parallels and contrast to understand how their life is as a great ample demonstration of surrender to the Supreme Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj, as we see from other Puranas like Vishnu Purana, so he was a very highly accomplished Brahmana, was very devoted in his previous life, and he had some desire in his previous life. He had a desire to become the king. So in the next life he becomes Dhruva Maharaj. But he was his life was completely full of piety in his previous life. So he is given a wonderful opportunity to be born in a Kshatriya family. Not just ordinary Kshatriya family. So he was born to Uthanapada, who was a son of Swayambhuva Manu, was the first. He was the progenitor of mankind when Lord Brahma was intending to populate the entire world. So Swayambhuva Manu and his wife, they are very wonderful, great devotees. So they had two sons, Uthanapada and Priyavrata. And Priyavrata had taken to austerities. And Uthanapada had followed his orders of his parents to take up to the family life and rule the entire planet. So he was born to a king who was ruling the entire planet. And as the fate would have it, so in the previous life also, so he decided to become a king. Dhruva Maharaj is brought up as an Kshatriya. So he naturally desired to come up to the lap of his father, who was a great king. And he might also have a latent desire to become a king. So that's natural, because he was the eldest son. And he definitely is the higher apparent. And he deserves the kingdom. But it so happens that he had a bad luck of having a stepmother who is very cruel to him. And that turns out to be a great blessing. So stepfather reprimanding him for desiring to sit on the lap of his father is a very great opportunity for him to seek up to the higher achievements, not just be satisfied with becoming a king. So that turns out to be a very great blessing in disguise. So Dhruva Maharaj also, being a great Kshatriya, exhibits a Kshatriya quality. A Kshatriya is not someone who turns away from an opportunity or turns away from a situation which is very challenging to him. He accepts challenge. So when Dhruva Maharaj was advised by his mother, first Surichi, the stepmother, and also his mother Suniti, to go to the forest and meditate on the Supreme Lord, he was just 5 years old at that point of time. And he meets Narada Muni, which also turns to be a blessing in disguise. So Narada Muni advises him, "My dear son, you are a very young, and at this age, somebody reprimanding you and you becoming angry is very natural. But children don't become angry for long. Their mood turns very soon to something else. But they're happy to be diverted very soon. They're not very stubborn. So why are you so stubborn? And why are you so fixed to that you want to do austerities and please the Supreme Lord? This is not for you. This is for highly accomplished and people who are very fixed, and this is definitely not for someone of your age." So he dissuades him his best to not pursue this path of austerities. But Dhruva Maharaj was not someone to be called back. So he is very clear that he wants to achieve this feat, not just for himself, but also for his mother. Because he loves his mother so much that he cannot see her situation also. His mother is also being unjustly treated by his father. Which is also a reason why Dhruva Maharaj doesn't want to just be diverted by other different distractions. So it's very clear that he wants to go and meditate on the Supreme Lord. And he requests Narada Muni to guide him. So a lot of important things plays out here. One is his determination. So the first step has been taken by the spirit. So we have to take the first step towards taking interest in knowing about the Supreme Lord, serving Him. And Krishna knows our desire and He arranges for a spiritual master if you are sincere. So that's why we see Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, "Pramanda Brahmite Kone Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Aye Bhakti Lata Bija." So, getting a guru has to be a blessing of the Supreme Lord. By the blessing of the spiritual master, the Supreme Lord is attained. So there is a very close interaction between guru and the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. They are one in purpose. The spirit, Prabhupada mentions time and again that Sakshad Haritvena Samastha Shastra. There is no difference in purpose between the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. The purpose is to educate the spirit soul, and the purpose is to deliver him from the clutches of material nature. So they are one in purpose. So when Narada Muni discovers that Dhruva Maharaj is fixed, he is not to be dissuaded. And he then guides him, he initiates him by giving him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. and he also instructs him on doing deity worship. So even in Satya Yuga, as you can see, chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the way to deliver, of deliverance. Although meditation is what Narada Muni is prescribing to Dhruva Maharaj, so he also gives him instruction to chant the holy name of Lord, Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Vasudeva especially because he is going to meditate on the Paramatma in the heart. So Vasudeva is another name of Paramatma because he is Vasati Iti Vasudeva. He is situated in the heart. So whatever instructions Narada Muni gave with respect to worshipping the deity, the form of material elements, and instruction to chant the names of the Lord, he also instructs him on meditation, on Ashtanga Yoga, because that is the process in the Satya Yoga. So the meditation is done by doing Ashtanga Yoga, and in which you have to perform austerities. Ashtanga means the eightfold process, Yama, Niyama, and so forth. So there's a strict regulations, a strict rules. Abstaining from sense gratification is very important. And following all the rules and regulations of the austerities, and which is very nicely demonstrated by Dhruva Maharaj in his sequential way in which he taken up to Ashtanga Yoga, starting with the eating fruits and roots, and finally just by sustaining on air. So you can imagine such a small child, for the sake of achieving his desire, and also for the sake of placating his mother's situation, is ready to take all these austerities. And it's a very noble desire actually, because it was something that he is destined to get. He deserves to get the king's position because he's son of the king. He is just following the footsteps as prescribed by the spiritual master in order to achieve his desire, which is rightly his. And Krishna also recognizes that. Supreme Lord becomes pratyaksha to him. He appears in front of him. Through Maharaj, he understands his folly, that his desire was very, very material. And Supreme Lord can give much, much more than that. In fact, the best thing to do when you see Supreme Lord is to not desire anything. Because he is the Supreme Father, he knows what is best for us, he is going to give us what is best. So he retires to that fact, that he should just live to the Supreme Lord. And whatever best he gives is the best for him. And that was rightly done by the Supreme Lord also. So he not just blesses him with the material gains, but he also gives him the highest abode of the Dhruva Loka. So this story is so much things to learn from us. How one should conduct, how one should get trained, how a mother should behave in training the child towards the right desires. Age of 5, Mother Suniti became his first spiritual master. So she directed him towards the right desire to go and achieve, go and pray to the Supreme Lord for whatever he wants, even for material desires. It is recommended that he worship the Supreme Lord. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi tibirena bhakti yogena ejate purushottaram. So whether we want even to achieve mukti, or even if you have no desires, the recommendation is tibirena bhakti yogena, or complete surrender to the Supreme Lord and render devotional service. Nothing else is recommended. Because that gives not just what we desire, but it also gives more than that. Because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he is the Supreme Father, he knows what is best for us. We even don't know what is best for us. Because our desires are polluted by material modes. The mind, intelligence, and false ego is said to be the sitting place of lust, as per Bhagavad Gita. So it is contaminated by material desires, especially the conditioned state of the living entity. So in that situation, our desires are bound to be polluted, influenced by the situation. And it's not going to be definitely transcendental to the material plane. But when we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, in this case, Suniti is his Siksha Guru. She gives him the first direction towards approaching the Supreme Lord. And further, because his desire is very noble and is taking a very great task at the age of 5, the Supreme Lord becomes merciful towards him. And he inspires Narada Muni to come and instruct Dhruva Maharaj. So Narada Muni also tests him. That is also the duty of a spiritual master, to see if the disciple is worthy enough. And in this case also, Narada Muni tries to dissuade Dhruva Maharaj, the best. But Dhruva Maharaj is not someone to budge. He is very fixed in his purpose. And so he becomes very pleased to have such a disciple. And he guides him properly. And he also assures him that his victory is certain. And he suggests him that he should never be distracted from the purpose, because he knows the path is not going to be easy. The path is going to be very full of trials and tribulations. And he has to be very steady in his purpose. And it was not just the suggested steps of Ashtanga Yoga that was very difficult, but also the demigods became very envious of Dhruva Maharaj, because he has taken a task to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord in such a short time. He did Ugra Tapas, very high intensity of austerities, tapasya. So much so that the earth was able to feel the entire weight of the Dhruva Maharaj's austerities. And it was pushing her down. So demigods become very upset, because the earth is which sustains them. So whatever pious activity is done in the earth planet, demigods get a share of it. So when the earth is disturbed, definitely they are very disturbed too. So they went all the way to the Supreme Lord to protest about Dhruva Maharaj. And the Supreme Lord also very clearly tells them that no, don't be worried. So interestingly, there's a lot of parallels in the life of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. So demigods also want to come and disturb and kill Prahlad Maharaj in the womb. At the same time also, Brahma is advising them not to be disturbed and assures them that a great devotee is going to be born, and that way the demigods give up the desire to kill. Here also we can see Dhruva Maharaj, it is said in the Vishnu Purana, very clearly it is mentioned how they tried to dissuade Dhruva Maharaj when he was meditating. The demigods come and they tried to dissuade him by showing very dangerous signs, by speaking loudly in his ear and trying to dissuade him from his purpose. But Dhruva Maharaj was never shaken, because he was completely in the yoga of the Supreme Lord. So he was seeing the Supreme Lord in his heart as Paramatma, and nothing would distract him. His external consciousness has gone already. He is fully focused on the Supreme Lord in the heart. So much so that when the Supreme Lord comes in front of him, he doesn't even see the Supreme Lord. And only when the Supreme Lord takes his form inside his heart out, then he opens his eyes. So till the time he is fully fixed on the Paramatma in the heart. That is what is Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga means not just exercises for the betterment of one's health or one's mental health or physical health. No, the purpose of the Ashtanga Yoga is to meditate on the Supreme, bring Him into your heart and be able to meditate on Him, relish Him. So that is what Ashtanga Yoga takes us to. So Dhruva Maharaj perfected that art. He was not distracted by the demigods. And just like the Vishnu Purana describes in great detail, and it's also mentioned in Chaitanya Mangala by Lochindas Thakur, the demigods have disturbed him to great detail. But he was not distracted. Same way, Prahlad Maharaj also, after Hiranyakashipu orders his men to kill him, he undergoes great tribulation, but nothing can happen to him because he is completely in one in purpose with the Supreme Lord. He's thinking of the Supreme Lord in his heart as Paramatma. So nothing can happen to him. Same way, Dhruva Maharaj also, whether the harshness of the austerities he has taken or the demigods disturbing him doesn't really distract him. That's why it's called Dhruva. So he is fixed purpose. And then he gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He comes in front of him and he gives him not just what he earlier desired. Although Dhruva Maharaj, after seeing the Supreme Lord, he desires nothing. He desires to just render devotional service to him. But the Lord has a purpose. The Lord wants to show that his devotees will never falter, even in the midst of greatest source of sense gratification. Even after becoming a king, Dhruva Maharaj will be steady in his purpose of devotion. So that is what the Lord wanted to show through him. So he fulfilled his desire to be the king, and he fulfilled his desire to get the love of his parents. And not just that, he finally awarded him for the great feat and of following the instruction of the spiritual master. So nothing is achieved without the mercy of the spiritual master. So definitely meeting the Narada Muni was the greatest thing that happened, Dhruva Maharaj. So Narada Muni's blessings was fully available to him. And Lord Krishna was very pleased because he satisfied his spiritual master. And anyone who wants to achieve success in spiritual life, the key is to satisfy the spiritual master. Because his spiritual master Narada Muni was very pleased with him by his behavior and by his determination to serve the Supreme Lord, he blessed him immensely, so much so that Lord was fulfilled his material desires as well as he finally awarded him the eternal residence in his own planet, Dhruvaloka. There were challenges in Dhruva Maharaj's life in his later life too. So after becoming the king, as you can see, he married, he had children, and he was a responsible king. He was doing his duties to perfection as a responsible king. And so part of being a king is to protect your citizens, protect your subjects. So when his brother Uttama was killed by Yaksha, so he definitely took up the task of punishing the Yakshas, which was rightly done. And he went up to the planet of the Yakshas, Dalkapuri. He didn't even challenge them, actually speaking, because if you read from Bhagavatam, he was not very ruthless by just going and attacking them. He blew the conch shell for sure, but he was immediately attacked by the Yakshas, which was uncalled for. The Yakshas should have definitely inquired what is the purpose of his visit, and Yakshas should have definitely given him, try to see if they can help him out and ask for forgiveness and solve the situation peacefully. But that was not what happened. The Yakshas attacked him fiercely, tall weapons of price. So, as a king, this is Kshatriya, someone who is challenged, and also he wanted to avenge for the death of his brother. So he rightly attacked the Yakshas. And he was attacked very fiercely with all the different illusory potencies. So he had to very fight valiantly. The victory was his, no doubt. So then Swayambhu Manu comes and he advises him to stop the fight because the purpose was achieved. And he reminds him of his purpose to go back to the Dhruva Loka. So again, Swayambhu Manu becomes his guru. He instructs him that his real purpose has been achieved in his life. He has done whatever was decided by the Supreme Lord by being a very valiant king and also showing how one can practice devotional service while doing his menial duties. It was very aptly demonstrated by Dhruva Maharaj to perfection. And Swayambhu Manu reminded him that it is time that you should go back to Dhruva Loka. And that's when Dhruva Maharaj became very retired from his material duties, and he gave up to his sons, and then he was in complete meditation of the Supreme Lord. And that is when the Vaikunthavasis, the Sunanda and Nanda, they came and then to take him back to the spiritual world. So this is the wonderful life of Dhruva Maharaj, full of instructions for us on how we should practice our devotion, on how we should be steadfast in the purpose, on how we should follow the please of spiritual master and follow the instructions to the perfection. And how one should behave, what should be one's attitude towards devotional service, desiring nothing but just service. That is what is the that we understand from Sikshashtakam also, that we don't want anything. We don't want material wealth, we don't want beautiful spouse, or we don't want any kind of name and fame, but we want costless devotional service life after life. And that is what Dhruva Maharaj desired also when he saw the Supreme Lord. That is what he asked for. And Krishna also very amply demonstrates his words in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananya chintayantama ejana parivipasate tesha mityabhiyuktana yogakshemam mahamiham. So over things of me, Krishna says that I, but all the time, ananya means without any deviation, to complete perfection, if someone thinks about him, Krishna promises that he will give what he desires. He will give what he has. He protects what he has, and he gives what he desires. He takes care of his necessities also. So a devotee is completely oblivious to the situation. He resigns his fate to the Supreme Lord. He doesn't desire anything. And the Supreme Lord takes up the task on himself to protect, nourish such devotee, and give what he needs also. And Dhruva Maharaj also, he didn't reject it. He could have rejected, "Oh my dear Lord, I don't want any of this. I just want to become a devotee." But no, he knows the purpose of the Supreme Lord. He understands he wants him to be a king. He understands he wants him to show the world what it means to be a devotee and also perform the duties. So he takes that, he fulfills that desire of the Supreme Lord also. And he also wants to deliver his mother. And so it's a very beautiful life that became full of teachings for us. Yes, there are some challenges in his later life, like having to lose his brother, other things. And similar challenges also seen by Prahlad Maharaj also. So after being protected by Lord Narasimhadev, so you see his later life, he has a lot of different challenges from the demons. They try to cheat him try to take advantage of his character. He also fights the demigods. Because he also understands that he has to, as a devotee, he has to do his duties, which also means upkeep of dharma. So he fights the demigods, and then and he's again blessed by Lord Vishnu in his later life. So there's a lot of parallels in the Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj story, and full of teachings and full of learnings for us that we can learn. And the beauty is that the whole life is full of Krishna consciousness. Just like we see, the Harivamsa has said, Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Ado Vantacha Matecha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. So that's the important thing. Hari Sarvatra Giyate. The Lord's presence is there throughout their life. In the beginning, in the end. So in the life history of Dhruva Maharaj also, life history of Prahlad Maharaj also, you can see, although the life seems to some extent like any normal life of a king, but the difference is Krishna is there all throughout. And they are Krishna conscious all throughout. That's the beauty of, that is why they are luminaries. So Dhruva Maharaj means, Dhruva Loka is said to be the pole star. So pole star is very important in the astronomical, being a student of astronomy. So pole star is the central pivot on along which the entire world revolves. The earth revolves around this axis. And that axis, the north, points to the pole star. So you can see in the night sky, all the stars going around the pole star. And that is what we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam description of the planetary systems also. So the pivot of the entire planetary system is the Dhruva Loka, because he is the ideal devotee. He and Prahlad Maharaj are the same category. They are ideal devotees. And they are luminaries who are showing us, by example, how one should behave in one's life, how one should always conduct oneself under different situations, be challenges, being steadfast in devotion, being steadfast in upkeep of dharma. So they are always luminaries. They will always be an inspiration for all of us throughout the life. I would like to stop here, and I would like to be open for any comments, suggestions, any corrections, or any points that you would like to add at this point. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you for the very, very beautiful class. Lot of insights and a lot of interesting details that you were talking about, especially about the past life of Dhruva Maharaj, a new revelation to me. It was so nice to know about that. And once we understand the past life, it's so wonderful to see how everything falls in place so perfectly. With great devotees, in their life. So it was very, very nice to know that, Prabhu, and also the parallels that you drew between Prahlad and Dhruva was very interesting. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for this very, very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna for the kind words.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanot pranams. Very, very happy to hear you. It's so nice. Wonderful to hear your class, and we wish that you come often and give your association. Thank you so much for sharing such beautiful realizations. Thank you.
Thank you, Babaji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanma Pradham, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very nice class, Prabhuji, the way you nicely summarized the whole pastime of Dhruva Maharaj and some interesting revelations that you made which I was not aware of. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, those kind words.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Venerable Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. I had just a couple of comments from hearing from you. Yeah. One was about, I was reading recently first canto, so when you're mentioning about how Dhruva Maharaj, one of the lessons we can learn from Dhruva Maharaj is how he's fixed on his purpose to serve the Lord, that fixing on the purpose. Yeah, when I was reading first canto, one of the sentences I liked it. It inspired me. So this class also is continuing to inspire me. The sentence was about how Prabhupada writes in the purport that our life is just a moment in the journey towards self-realization. So like that. So the purpose of life is self-realization. So we need to be fixed on that purpose like that. So I just
thank
wanted
you,
to share that. Yeah, thank you.
Very nicely put.
And one more thing I was thinking about, that was also, we were talking about how Dhruva Maharaj not only executed devotion service, when the Lord wanted him to rule the kingdom, and he understood that the Lord's desire, and he fulfilled the Lord's desire that also properly by doing prescribed duties, while still not getting lost with fruitive activity or anything, still fixed, being fixed in devotion still. That was also inspiring. Later when Parikshit Maharaj asks about Prevrata, later in the later portion of Bhagavatam also, this topic comes up, like how Prevrata, even why did he take up family life, he was a selfless devotee, and then like that when the question comes, then Sukadeva Goswami explains that when somebody listens to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and has I'm paraphrasing only. So like when somebody is taken shelter of lotus feet of Supreme Lord and hears the glories of the Supreme Lord, then they don't get entangled in the fruitive activity, even though they're doing the prescribed duties in the family life, with the wife, children, like that. They're still focused on devotion service, while not neglecting the prescribed duties and doing them properly, like externally, like that. I was remembering that also, Prabhu. But thank you for sharing a lot of lessons also from your class, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Very nicely summarized. Yes, it's very important to, given that everybody comes from a different situation, everybody has a different baggage of karma, so we have to recognize our situation, recognize our modes, and also accordingly take appropriate ashrama and execute devotional service, and not be cynical, not be extremely have any reservations of anything, and follow the instruction of spiritual master. That is the secret of success. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Krishna.
Do we have any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, once again, thank you so much for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. Is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay. Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for Prabhuji, let us end the call here, offering obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas who have assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpataro Vyasya Vipasindu Vyayavacha Patitana Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vindhiki Jai Namacharya Shilaridas Thakur Ki Jai Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His Grace Lakshmi Narsingha Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Gurishtha Guru Gauranga.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.